Loud Noise is a comedy show here on 2SER 107.3. And it's about to start. But before we begin, we have been told by basically everybody that we have to warn you about our language themes, because it might be offensive to some listeners. So, if that's you, well, sorry.
What's up, fam? This is Loud Noise coming to you live this sexy Sunday evening right here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Will, and in case you haven't heard, Loud Noise is the only show in Sydney that calls it straight down the middle. We don't have a bleeding heart for far-left-wing liberals or pander to the bloody noisy alt-right bullshit brigade. So, check your virtue signalling at the damn door. Spare yourself from any agenda-driven nonsense and just enjoy the next half hour.
Howdy, noises. I'm Hannah, and we have a whole lot for you this week. You know we're going to talk Trump. We always do. But what you don't know is that we're also going prestige worldwide, and we're going to take a look at the
prestige
Catalan...
Prestige worldwide!
That's right. We're going to take a look at the Catalan referendum. They just do not want to be part of Spain.
Boats and hoes!
We're going to get our feet wet in Puerto Rico, because that place is still flooded as all shit, and we're going to get some other world stuff before we bring it back down under. But don't worry, you'll still get your hit of kek, so stick yourself to your chair and don't you go anywhere.
But if you're feeling stuck or, you know, you're trigger-averse, take a goddamn rainbow pill and get over it. But just in case you need something to wash it down with, slide on over to www.2ser.com/loud-noise.
Noise!
You can whine and moan and gripe and groan at Loud Noise Show on Twitter, or check out our fancy stuff at thecentre.com.au.
But before we get into all of that, we have a quick word from the Money Dorks.
From an evening of comedy to late and loose nights in Gonzo's Soul Club, good times await all week at Wayward's above the bank in Newtown. Every week, catch amazing artists from Newtown and beyond. Check out our full lineup of bands, comedy, DJs and plenty more at bankhotel.com.au. The Bank Hotel, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Listen closely. This is the sound of a brain that's been to UTS School of Communication. Listen again. This is the sound of a brain that hasn't. So, if your bosses need to make decisions to make things happen for them at work, which would you think they'd rather have?
Make your future happen. Apply to UTS School of Communication, the number one young uni. UTS School of Communication, sponsors of 2SER.
Greetings, people from the future. You are listening to Loud Noise on 2SER 107.3.
Of our government, from Homeland Security to Defense, are engaged fully in the disaster and the response and recovery effort probably has never been seen for something like this. This is an island surrounded by water, big water, ocean water. We're closely coordinated with the territorial and local governments, which are totally and unfortunately unable to handle this catastrophic crisis on their own. Just totally unable to.
Sup, fam? We are back now. That was the big fella. The big Trump.
Talking about the big water.
The big water. The best water.
No, it's probably not the best water because it's Puerto Rican water and not like, you know, New York water, but...
You know what? It actually probably isn't. Like, just to sidetrack for a second, like, the ships that pick up ballast water there and dump it everywhere are also probably dumping millions and millions of microbials everywhere. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. Now, you probably know, or if you don't, there was a big...
Hurricane Maria, one of the biggest storms to hit that part of the world. Actually, Puerto Rico in 90 years. It's the biggest storm they've had in 90 years.
And then now there are people complaining about the response from America because you might not know as well that Puerto Rico is, it's a principality in a sense of America. It's still under American jurisdiction. And you've got FEMA on the ground there. You've got military on the ground there trying to get supplies to the people that need it, but everyone on the other side of the aisle and even on his own side of the aisle is complaining about Trump's response to the Puerto Rican situation. A lot of celebrities are complaining about Trump's response.
Hello, J-Lo and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah. They're great scions of the not only the political discourse, but the bureaucratic machine, and their ability to, you know, do anything other than virtue signal must be immense.
No, J-Lo donated $1 million buckaroonies.
Everyone can donate $1 million when it gets written off your tax. But I don't want to see people that are just donating money and using that as an excuse. Okay, this gives me the right to then comment on something. When if you've... There are actually reports, and I've seen videos of this, of the and there was a guy that spoke to a guy that was running a port in Puerto Rico, that they wouldn't let them release any of the supplies. They had container loads of supplies that they weren't letting them release. You don't believe me?
Other trucks. What you've got on the island is what you've got. The governor says we can't reach some of our truck drivers, so he's asking for school drivers who might want to volunteer. But it is unbelievable to see this many shipping containers here at the port with supplies that are ready to go right now, and they're just sitting here. It's the seventh day since Maria hit. It's unbelievable. I want to show you what is so maddening. There's enough food, water, and supplies here at the port to help, what would you say, how many people?
I would say over 500,000 people right
okay,
now.
A 500,000 people. This man is with Crowley, which is the shipping company. Give me your name, sir.
Jose Ayala.
Jose Ayala. Before we talk to Jose, I want to show you. There are about 3,000 shipping containers out there. 3,000. Some have been sitting here since Saturday. It's got everything you need to stock a store anywhere in Puerto Rico. Food, water, medicine. It's been sitting here since Saturday.
So, Hannah, what do you make of that?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of reports coming out of Puerto Rico that there's no fuel to put the stuff on the truck and actually get them to deliver them. There's no drivers. There's no this. There's no that. Look, the whole thing is a bit of a clusterfuck. There's trees over the road. There's still a huge cleanup effort that needs to be made. But in the meantime, there are people there that have no water, have no fuel, have no food.
But again, what I was saying is, how does that make it Trump's fault? At every level, people have politicized this. I'm not sitting here trying to defend Trump, but the way it goes in these places, if you look at recent examples like Haiti, like other places that this has actually happened, a lot of it has to do with the leadership that's on the ground, the people that are actually like in charge of these places, using it to politicizing the disaster and using it to get their own power base.
Yeah, maybe so, but I mean, Trump is not completely blameless here. I mean, he's brought up things like the Puerto Rican debt and saying, like, you know, we've had a great cleanup effort in American states, can't think of them.
Florida and Texas.
Texas, there we go. They don't have debt, and then he brings up the Puerto Rican debt as if it's somehow relevant to this cleanup effort.
I think he just says things that he's heard, but I'm talking in terms of the actual disaster.
But he's a president. He shouldn't, and that's why people are attacking him. Although, look, I agree with you. It's the Democrats' chance to have a bit of a kick at Trump, but
I'm not
the
just
reality
talking about
is,
the Democrats, though.
I know,
I'm talking about the people that are supposed to be leaders in Puerto Rico. They shouldn't allow this to happen. I don't care if there's no fuel. If there's no fuel, then you go there with horses and buggies. You go there and you send every single person to the port to collect things. You don't leave supplies at a port. You just don't. And you don't sit there worrying about what a president's saying and worrying about what a president's doing. You just go and get the job done. If you really want to help people, then you help them. But to bring any of this from both sides, from the Trump side, from, you know, any other side, and sit there talking like, oh, this person's doing this person's doing that, that's not going to get anyone fed. That's not going to get the power back on. That's not going to achieve anything. Like, that, this is my opinion. You don't think?
Well, maybe they're focusing on the wrong thing, but the reality was he had to double his actual spending on Puerto Rico because there wasn't enough of a response at the beginning. And, you know, it's now day 7 and they're still in a pretty shit situation. They're literally lining up for hours just to get some water.
It's much in the same when you've got these countries that are, you know, not countries because Puerto Rico isn't technically a country, but that are like developing nations in a sense, because it's no different from any other country in the Caribbean that deals with these kinds of issues. But it just highlights the fact that you've got leadership in these places that's poor. Speaking of poor,
ooh, There's a smuggler, says he'll send me far, reaching western lands, this war is very dark. Finally I'm on the boat, water crystal clear, going ahead, I sold my stuff just to make it there. See how I leave, no home to go back to, but you underestimate the things that I went through. That there smuggler said he'd send me far, left us four dead on a boat, and now it falls apart. The scars of our war remind me of all the pain I'm feeling, the death that haunts us all. The scars of chemicals, they leave me breathless. Pain I'm feeling, we've lost it all. Floating refugee, you held my life inside your hand, but you blame me, refugee. Keep me detained on Manus till I'm old, or get sent back to Dinesh, where I'm raped or join the fold. Now I'll fight, cause you laughed at my despair. Generations of abuse, a pain I'll make you share. The scars of my war remind me of your heartless suffering. You closed your port of call. The scars of ISIS, they leave me hopeless. But change I'm needing. We've lost it all. Floating refugees, unstable redemption. Always your man, but you blame me. You put up a wall. Every bought vote, drop your bombs to get the oil that you want. Turn my sorrow into barrels of gold. I'll pay you back in kind and you'll reap what you sow. We've lost it all the bombs have fallen. It all.
You're listening to Loud Noise, the show that's made from blood, sweat, and tears. And vomit. And semen. Don't ask.
A caviar last night. Kinchi sai. I'm in power, not a pueb. And my missile will fly. Aim wide at them. I kill my fam, big gun. I kill my wife. It's one way in my powers. But my daddy was white. And Trump gonna be so wrong this time. China will save me if I start to fight. Not just a man, I'm a real god at home, just so you know, I'm the Rocket Man.
So, Rocket Man, Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un, everyone's favourite North Korean, this week declared that Trump had declared war on him via Twitter.
Yeah, but they've got dialogue now. So there's direct dialogue, according to Secretary of State Tillerson. So I think, I was saying this before, a lot of it is helping both Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, being able to have this, you know, discourse where they yell and they scream and they, you know, go at it, and their own populaces eat it up. Because North Korea for Donald Trump is something that not only do the Republicans want to see an end to North Korea on end, but so do the Democrats, because it plays very well with the general public. And in the same way, in North Korea, you think it doesn't help Kim Jong-un to have, you know, all these reports of he's fighting back against that, you know, evil American imperialist empire. He's shooting his missiles. You don't think that that helps him in any way?
No, it probably does. But, I mean, from the rest of the world, we all just think it looks like two oversized toddlers fighting in a sandpit over a bucket and a shovel.
But it depends how you look at it. Because if you look at it from a basic perspective and go, oh, this isn't something that world leaders do. But then if you look back through history and you look at other examples of, you know, interactions between countries, it's exactly the same thing.
Oh, it's all posturing.
Because it's a message. It's the narrative. And it's the narrative that's being tailored for the domestic audience. And because any time that you're dealing on the world stage, anything that happens, you can, you know, not attribute blame to yourself. But at the same time, the message that you're putting out shores up your base because it doesn't affect directly anyone at home. It's the same reason why Julie Bishop, everyone can think, oh, she'd be a great prime minister. But everyone within the actual political class here, everyone within... No, let me finish. Anyone within the political class here goes, she hasn't been tested as a minister of domestic affairs. Because it's easy to be dealing with foreign issues. Because all it really is talking. It's words. There's no policy measure that you can implement that's going to affect the people that are actually voting for you. So it's easy for Trump to go out and say, oh, I'm going to North Korea, we're going to go to war. It's easy for him to do that because it doesn't affect anyone in America, really.
Yeah, but if Kim Jong-un and North Korea do interpret that as a declaration of war,
they can't do shit about it.
It would be very Trump to start World War III with a tweet.
No.
Be very Trump, very 2017.
You know what? I don't, unless it's like a Twitter war or a meme war, that's all this is. It's a meme war because neither one can invade the other without catastrophic loss of life.
Now, speaking of internet wars, Spain and one of its regions, Catalonia, are in a bit of an internet tiff at the moment. Basically, Catalonia wants to declare independence from Spain and be its own little country, I suppose. And they've called a bit of a referendum and, I don't know, all the people living in Catalonia are very much behind it. But the rest of Spain ain't so happy and they're taking to the internet to try and stop this thing before it can get off the ground.
They're not just taking to the internet. It's almost as though Franco has been resurrected in Spain and they're cracking down on their freedoms and their right to be independent. And this isn't just like a flash in the pan issue. In Spain, this has been going on for ages with the Basque separatists. Like, they've always... They're an autonomous region, in a sense, anyway. And you've got, like, you know, the things that people know about, like the rivalry between Real Madrid and Barcelona. You know, because Madrid is, like, you know, the Spanish nationalists, the loyalists. It's, you know, it harkens back to that Franco regime. I actually had a friend whose dad was the lawyer for Franco back when I was at university, Javi. No, his grandfather, not his dad. His dad is an ambassador for the EU in the South Pacific. But his dad was a lawyer for Franco. And even talking to him back then, like, it's the Basques, they're, like, considered evil. They're considered, like, you know, the same way that the Kurdish populations are seen in Turkey and in Iraq. And funnily enough, they're going through the exact same process right now, whether they're, you know, working in sync with each other, maybe, but... It just seems that, I don't know whether it's, you know, based on America and, you know, having the minorities now rise up and whether there's, you know, some connection. Maybe they're getting funding from the same places that all these minority groups are getting funding from. But whether or not the Basques should have independence or not, see, for me personally, I think they should. I think anyone that wants to be independent, but...
So Western Australia next?
Why not? Honestly, but there's got to be a consequence. Like, if you're going to declare independence, then your whole internal economy and all that has to be self-reliant. So if Waxit wants to happen, let it happen. No, let it happen. But then at the same time go, okay, if you're going to then expect to get any kind of funding or any kind of assistance, if Indonesia decides randomly to invade you, Western Australia, then too bad, so sad. If you want to have independence, then you've got to create your own standing army. Then you've got to provide services for people. Western Australia right now is in, what, $40 billion worth of debt? Be independent. Take your debt with you. What, are you going to rely on, you know, Twiggy Forrester to save you? He's the one that's been taking all your money. What are you talking about?
But look, back to the point at hand. So this internet war, basically, they're shutting down freedom of speech. They're going around and raiding people's homes. They're snatching up these voting papers. They're snatching up pamphlets. They're arresting people.
Sounds like America. But it's, you know what? I think Bougainville as well, the one in Papua New Guinea, the same thing. I don't know if people got together and decided that everyone's going to declare independence in the next couple of weeks, but you can't. Like, you can... But you can't. More power to him. Like, I don't know. How do you feel about Erdogan saying that he's going to cut off the gas pipeline and, you know, economically starve the Kurdish population if they, you know, carry on with their independence?
Well, I'm no big fan of Erdogan, but I can understand why he'd want that. Like, I don't think any country wants to be like, oh, yeah, we'll just voluntarily give away this section of our country. No one's going to say that. No government's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
He's worried about the Kurds that are in Turkey deciding to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't know. The way I would raise it is this. Say the Chinese population in Sydney... No, not the Chinese population, actually. Say the Vietnamese population in Sydney said, we're going to annex Cabramatta. How would you feel about it?
Well, I'd be like, nah, mate, don't do it.
Why not? Huge Vietnamese community in Cabramatta. Say they decided, you know what, we're going to make the United Principality of Cabramatta. And then in Fairfield, all the Assyrians and, you know, other Arabic, Arabic, you know, nationed people.
There's no way Pauline Hanson would stand for that.
How could she? what would she have to do with it? But just say, why can't that then happen? Isn't that the same exact thing?
Because we're one country.
No. But
we are
again,
Australians.
Again, so is Iraq. So is Spain. So is like Bougainville and Papua New Guinea. All of these places are countries. And they're one country.
No, I get that.
So what is then wrong if you're going to say, yes, the Kurds should have their own country?
I'm not saying, yes, they definitely should. I'm saying there should be a way that the government can cater to both groups of people without leaving one out or making one second-class citizens.
Again, it's not leaving them out, though. What I'm asking is, if they're going to have this vote for independence, which they in all three cases, there they are, and it passes with, you know, significant...
But the whole country has to vote. You can't just have
They're voting
in their
own...
No,
but they are. They're voting in their own region. This is what this is.
No, I get that. I get that. But you can't just have Newtonians vote and go, yeah, we're going to be our own little country now.
Have a look at their same-sex votes. They kind of sort of are. But I'm just saying, so do you allow for that then? Because people want to have their own...
They can say what they want, what they actually do.
What if, like I said,
what
if everyone
shut down their freedom of speech?
So if everyone in Cabramatta votes and says we're going to be the new principality of Cabramatta,
then you go, okay, Cabramatta, the whole country can vote because we're all one country. Because we're one, we are all Australians.
The vote's for their independence, though.
Yeah, but we're all Australians.
But their vote is for their independence.
They're well welcome to vote for their independence, but at the end of the day, they're Australians, and if they want their own little Cabramatta kingdom, then every Australian's going to have to vote.
I don't think so. I think they should be allowed to do it, and then I think that the army should be able to go in and crush them completely. No, honestly.
Kill them all.
No, it's not about killing them. It's not about killing them. It's if you want your independence, right? If you want your independence, you can have it. But if we want the land that you have, if we want the resources you have, ergo, we can then invade.
Then what happens to the refugees?
Back to where they started. If you choose to be independent.
So they go back to Cabramatta where they started. Yeah, so nothing happens. What's the point in this whole process?
Because there is a point. Because this is the thing. Everyone wants to be independent. And that's fine. You want to be an independent nation? Cool. You're relying upon the United Nations or whoever else to say, okay, we're going to ratify you as an independent body, as an independent nation. You can have membership to us. And then relying upon the World Bank, the IMF, every other instrument to then help you become self-sufficient. But everyone's forgetting that throughout history, you've had people invade other people just because it doesn't happen as much like in Europe and all that kind of thing now. Go back only 50 years, 60 years. Most of Europe was like being invaded by one person or another. But even back to the Napoleonic times, like all these kinds of things, like there's always people that are invading. If you want your independence, fine, then you've got to fight for it. Just like everyone always has to since the dawn of time. And if getting your independence means that the rest of Spain goes, no, we don't want you to be Basque separatists. We want that part of Spain back, and it's going to just become normal Spain again without a separate Catalonian autonomous region, then fine. That's what you have to be willing to accept. You've got to fight for it. That's all I'm saying. Look, the Kurdish people, they're fighting in Turkey, fine. If they get their independent Kurdistan, fine.
Okay, but what you're
saying
here...
But when they get invaded, too bad.
Okay, but Spain is just statistically a lot larger. If you have a bigger population, you have a bigger army, usually. Just usually that's what happens, yeah. Right? So you're saying, hello, little ducky walking along.
Yep.
Here is the big dog. Yes, you go be independent, little ducky. Oh, wait, big dog is hungry. I'm going to eat you now.
Everyone's always fought for it.
So why let the little ducky be independent in the first place?
The little ducky wants to be.
I was working as an intern at a media firm. I was getting They took my work, they paid me not for 3 whole long months, then traded me for someone new. Now 5 years later on, the world should be at my feet, I paid all my dues. Instead I had to sell out to an ad company, they pay me so I can buy food. I can pay you. No, you won't believe it when you hear I gave up my dream first. First it was crushing. I know you won't believe it when you hear what I was writing. It's much too late, I've signed. My whole future's defined. I cannot change it back, so I choose not to worry. I'm a sellout, baby. Don't you like my purse? Dreams died with my paycheck, just waiting for a hearse.
Loud Noise, the show that won't judge you for all the nudes you have on your phone. Of your sister. Loud Noise.
And that's it. We are done. Time to fucking bounce. But if you're just pining away for more of the good, you can slide on over to www.twsr.com/loud-noise. You can gag and beg for it at Loud Noise Show on Twitter, or let your fingers do the stalking at thecentre.com.au.
And now that your brain is filled with the requisite dose, it's time for a differential diagnosis for all the other things that are potentially going to kill you, which is great because Jailbreak is up next and they will assault and batter your eardrums for the next half hour. But we will be back next week at 9 p.m. to ask you for all the money, all of it, all your money. Give it to us now. But until then, me Hannah.
And me William. Have a great rest of the day. And remember, the left is never right, and the right is batshit crazy. And the
fucking insane.